You're listening to Right Back At Ya, the podcast celebrating noughties pop music. So, I'm here, myself, Joel, with my co-host, David, and who are we covering today?
We're doing Atomic Kitten, Joel.
Atomic Kitten.
One of my absolute favourite girl groups. You know, up there with the Spice Girls and Little Mix, All Saints.
Clear.
Sugar Babes, Girls Aloud. I think I've had a real resurgence in my love for Atomic Kitten in the recent years.
Yeah, do you know what? I've loved that your rediscovery of them has fed my rediscovery of them. I think it was particularly like last year, I'd say, you really heavily got back into Atomic Kitten. And then it's led me to as well, particularly with doing this episode. I must say, originally, back in the day, this was one of the ones where some I was so hot on and some just were nothing to me. I felt nothing for Atomic Kitten during their initial run. About 3 years after they break up, I fall head over heels with them. I have that greatest hits on repeat every day.
And it's so funny that you mentioned about last year being such a big kind of Atomic Kitten resurgence year for me.
Mm.
When I got my Spotify kind of end of year report, where they tell you like, oh, these are the tracks you listen to the most this year. These are the artists. Up there was Atomic Kitten. And for my work Christmas party, you know, we had Secret Santa.
Yes.
I got an Atomic Kitten merch, like a plush black kitten that actually is a built-in radio as well. So, you know, I think everyone in my life knew well and truly that I was obsessed.
You'd branded yourself on social media well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Team AK all the way.
So have you listened to that radio yet? Have you attempted to use it?
I think it really needs, like, some AA batteries or something because you know what? It is my emotional comforter at work. When it gets a bit tough, I pick up that plush kitty, I give it a cuddle, and all is well in the world.
Well, again. I tell you what, I'm going to get some AA batteries for you. And I want us to launch our podcast via that radio. So, David, shall we get into it? Let's go right to the top of the old AK history.
So, Liverpool's Finest, Atomic Kitten.
Liverpool's Finest, Atomic Kitten. Founding member, Kerry Katona. Then comes Liz McLarnon. And also a very young Heidi Range.
She was 15 at the time. She
what a was baby.
Recruited. What a sugar baby, you might say.
What a sugar baby. I believe they were called Atomic Kittens then.
Initially, they were called the Honeyheads, or just Honeyheads. And then it went to Automatic Kittens, which then became Atomic Kittens and then Atomic Kitten. I mean, it's all very... I don't doubt that there were probably many other name changes along the way. Just like when Destiny's Child, before they got there, they were called all sorts
Girls of Time.
Girls Time with a Y. T-Y-M-E. Cliche. Whatever it is.
So, Heidi Range, who we then later knows from is probably the longest standing Sugar Babes member, leaves for an edgier sound. An edgier sound did she find. Enter, shall we say, Natasha Hamilton. Which, thank God, because they're all... I love every member of Atomic Kitten, but Natasha Hamilton's voice, that for me is such a powerhouse vocal.
She has a very distinct vocal.
It's the heart of Atomic Kitten. And it would be crazy to think what these songs would sound like with Heidi. You know, you've got two... You would have two excellent singers. Liz, excellent singer. Heidi, great singer. And then obviously Kerry. But Natasha is that heart, you know?
So it was 1998 where the group was first conceived. Mm-hmm. It really blows my mind because for me, they were always like a very noughties act. So I just kind of assume maybe the year 2000, 2001 was when they came out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hole Again was around that time. But it turns out they've been a long time in the making. So they were signed to Innocent Records by Virgin, also home to Billy Piper, another of our faves.
Mm-hmm.
and Blue later down the line. But, you know, Atomic Kitten really was one of the kind of flagship artists on this label.
I guess they carried the torch once Billie had hung up her microphone.
Yeah.
So they got signed and they launched with Right Now. Great debut single, 1999, goes straight in at number 10 in the UK charts.
I mean, it was, this song has such pure energy. Like, it's just pure hysterical disco pop. Like, it's bubblegum. It's kind of, it really, like, looking at that music video as well, it was like, you know, they were dancing on these coloured tiles. Mm. And it was just, it was so Saturday morning kids TV.
Oh my God, yes. It's basically if SMTV had released a single, that's the aesthetic.
That was it. And it was just, it was, and also, bear in mind, 99... around that time of the year, that was when S Club 7 had launched as well. They came out the same year. So it was very much a time for that kind of pop music to be, you know, capturing our imaginations and our little hearts. Did you love it at first sight? Was that your first entry to Atomic Kitten?
I'll be honest. I think as the basic uncultured child I was, I don't think I knew who they were until Hole Again, and maybe not even until Eternal Flame. I was so into my faves that I was into, I didn't really have eyes for anyone else.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
I was too busy watching Miami 7. Mate,
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
So the group was founded by Andy McCluskey and Stuart Kershaw from OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. This is a band I had absolutely no idea of until this year, 2018. And it turns out they were very legendary in the 80s and the late 70s. You know, they were very much pioneers of that kind of synth pop with really, really strong, catchy melodies. Mm. So I think as the 90s rolled on, there really wasn't that much demand for their music. So these two guys went into songwriting.
Create a girl band.
Create a girl band so you can keep working, which is really a great idea.
I mean, we should have done this. We should have been working on this for the past 10 years, David.
These two guys really had a hand in a lot of Atomic Kitten's early hits. And they wrote Right Now. I didn't come across Right Now at the very beginning when it came out. I think somehow it had missed Australia. So I caught on to it much later, much after Hole Again.
72 in Australia, apparently.
Number 72. That's incredible.
So following Right Now, very respectable, straight in at 10. They're launched, they're here. This is Atomic Kitten. We then get See Ya, which improved. It went to number 6 in the UK. I appreciate the song for what it is. It's probably not one of my favourites.
It's a bit Bewitched. Nothing wrong with Bewitched.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with Bewitched.
No, I went to see Bewitched on their arena tour back in the day. Thank you. No, it's a sweet second single. I think it's crazy, though, that See You went to number 6 and Right Now went to number 10.
You know, by that time, second single, they probably hit their stride and it started to become more of a name with children's programs and, you know, your smash hits and things like that. So that their audience was growing.
And we must say, lovely little Liz had a co-write on that song. So let's go straight on to the next one, because we're going to start getting into our stride now. I Want Your Love. It's one of my favourites. It is super camp, it's super cheesy, but it's just such a feel-good, fun song. Again, a Liz McClarnon co-write. The music video is epic.
Oh, stunning. So, this is when, like, they started looking like pop stars.
And it's actually pre-Oops, I Did It Again, because it's very, like, sort of space aesthetic that we were getting in the early noughties pop music scene. So it's really cool to see that it was a very similar vibe-ish.
Hmm.
You know, maybe Britney saw it and thought, I want some of that.
you know, in the Right Now video, they were jumping up and down, just being, you know, energetic young girls. And Sia was the same as well.
Yeah.
But with I Want Your Love, I was like, whoa, that's a girl group.
Yeah, it's like it's a nice, slicker sequel to Right Now, I would say.
Definitely. I Want Your Love made number 10 in the UK, so yes. It's their third
top 10 hit,
which is excellent. And also, Joel, I don't know if you remember in the video, the Michael Jackson-esque dance breakdown, which Tash was very proud of.
Oh, so we watched the So Far So Good DVD from my personal collection, which I gifted to David. Do you know what was? It was great because it was very... For a DVD aimed for kids, it did have a lot of documentary. It was a very informative feel to it. And I'm living my life with a slice of the confidence that Ms. Natasha Hamilton has in that DVD. Hats off to her. She is guns blazing, very ballsy. She knows who she is and she's very confident with it. And rightly so.
She was the ginger spice of the group.
She was. And then we take a little dip with Follow Me, which I think we were both unaware of in its initial run. When we were watching the DVD, we were both like, oh,
what's that?
Yeah, I remember I discovered it like a year or two ago. Went in at number 20. It's a very forgettable single.
But in a sense, if you looked at everything they were doing before and then when Follow Me came along... Mm. Follow Me actually sounds more like the kind of stuff they would end up doing for the rest of their careers. That kind of pop mid-tempo stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to the more energetic Eurodance.
Yeah, stuff. It's just not quite got where it needs to be yet.
No. This single came out in October 2000, so it was almost a year after Right Now. And already at this point, the label was like...
See ya.
Yeah, maybe this isn't quite going to work out long term.
I do think it was a very strange choice for a fourth single, and the music video... You know, it's a simple green screen music video, but it's very... In what we're about to see in the next one, I'm so glad they went for a much more simpler choice in their green screen video because it's much more effective than what we saw in the Follow Me music video.
There was a lot going on in the Follow Me video that you just kind of think, Microsoft screensaver?
It was very sweet in the DVD where they just sort of skidded over the chart position where Liz went, I don't even want to think about what chart position it was, but we will sing it in the sets because it's a good song.
good for you, Liz.
Yeah, I mean, I just watched the Greatest Hits DVD live at Wembley. That it didn't make the set list then, but you know, so many more hits to squeeze in.
So in October 2000, Follow Me comes out. Their album Right Now also comes out. Now it didn't do too well in the UK. It entered at number 39, and then in week two it dropped to number 74. But on the other side of the world, in Japan, they had a single out there called Cradle, which was number one there.
Mm.
And so they actually rush-released that album in Japan before it came out in the UK.
Yes.
So it really felt like... And it's so funny at that time because it really looked like they were about to be dropped in the UK, but they were starting to pick up all this success in Asia, you know, because they'd already started touring over there and they were very, very smart to take their stuff internationally early on, yes. I have to say. Let's talk about Right Now, the album, because there's three different versions of this album.
There's the Japan release.
Yeah.
The initial release with Kerry in the UK, which differed to the one that they rush released in Japan. And then, spoiler alert for a few things that's going to happen, there's a re-release with Ms. Jenny Frost.
What do you think of the album?
it's a mixed bag. The singles that we liked on it, so Right Now, I Want Your Love, Hole Again that we're about to get to, are great tracks. Turn Me On, which I know is one of your faves.
I love Turn Me On.
It's an absolute banger. That's kind of probably the shining point of the album tracks for me.
What was funny about the Japanese version of this album is that I Want Your Love is called All the Right Things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rare version on the Asian edition of this album where there's Hole Again, but all the verses is Kerry Katona, spoken words.
Lead, spoken art, powerhouse.
Spoken word queen, Kerry Katona.
Spoken word artist, Kerry Katona. If you see me walking down the street, staring at the sky and dragging my 2 feet, you just pass me by. It still makes me cry, but you could make me whole again. As you were saying, they were at threat of being dropped, and the management and Atomic Kitten convinced the label to do one last single. Minimal budget for the CD covers, they'd used stuff from previous photo shoots, and it's just literally a white backdrop music video. But it's a very iconic sort of piece of work, I would say, the music video.
The whole thing was great. The whole thing was my first entry into Atomic Kitten.
Yeah.
I had no idea who they were.
I think it was really a lot of people's. I think they were sort of under the radar as, like, people were sort of familiar with this girl band, and then bam, this sort of ballad is this huge number one. They were very, so lucky. So many people don't get the opportunity of one more single. And you have to think about all of our other pop faves that didn't get to shine as brightly as they could have, how differently maybe those things could have been if those album tracks that we love that were potential singles had been given a chance. You just never know.
So during the promo of Hole Again, Kerry left.
What I didn't realise is that Kerry had left before the physical single was actually released. I thought it was released, she left, and then they quickly redid it with Jenny. But so she left during the promo, was it 2 weeks before the single was out? Something like that.
Something like really close to a deadline. You know, they'd already filmed the music video, she was in it, and it was, you know, already doing rotations. I remember seeing the music video with Kerry on it. You guys over here would have seen her doing some of the press for it, and then suddenly she was gone. She was pregnant with her first child.
Ryan McFadden of Westlife's.
Yes.
Child.
And she wanted a quiet life as Mrs. McFadden.
And that she didn't get. So, and it's very strange, as I sent David a YouTube clip the other day of their Live and Kicking performance when Kerry was still in the band, and they're very honest about saying, oh, this is our last TV performance with Kerry, she's leaving, we've got a new girl joining called Jenny, she's going to be great. It's a bit of like a tinge of sadness to it, but it's very strange, and it's great, but in the manufactured world of pop, we're so used to glazed over and re-establishing things. It's very refreshing to see such honesty.
Yeah.
There is that one Smash Hits photo shoot with all four members. It's
oh,
a
really?
Bit. Yeah, you have to watch it because it's not watch it. You have to look at it. It's a very strange photo shoot. But then yeah, it was. And then we watched some more promo when Jenny had just joined the band. They did a fun little thing where they did like a roll call. As you said, Jenny's the only one that listened or read the press release and had all the information. Jenny had previously been in the girl band Precious.
You like Precious?
I wasn't aware of Jenny as a person, but I was hugely aware of Precious.
Oh, okay.
So,
because she wasn't like a lead singer in Precious.
In Precious, there's the one lead singer and no one else really
sings. And then everyone
else
was just, yeah.
But Precious were a really big deal to me anyway. They did Eurovision. And and Say It Again is an absolute banger.
And you turned me on to their other single, Rewind.
Rewind is an absolute
killer
track, which I only really discovered as more of an adult. I only really knew Precious as Say It Again. They're a bit of a one-hit wonder to me. They obviously didn't have the success they were hoping to, and they naturally came to an end and got dropped. And Jenny came into Atomic Kitten, and it really was the perfect piece to the puzzle, I think.
You know, Kerry was always the kind of more gobbier one, but Jenny was just as media savvy. You know, you watch all the interviews, she's very on it.
Yeah, she is. And she seems very, she's very there to do the work.
Yeah.
And yeah, no shade to Kerry, like she was a founding member. This just, it really gets interesting from here out.
Exactly.
This goes up to the next level. I honestly don't think they would have had the success we're about to go into if Kerry had stayed in the band. I think people are quick to forget and don't give Jenny as much credit as she deserves.
Amen.
The entire career pretty much happened with Jenny in. And yeah, people can be quick to say, oh, well, she's not... Kerry or Jenny aren't great vocalists, but you don't necessarily need three lead singers in a band.
No, you
and
don't.
And she can hold her own, and...
And she has a lovely tone to her voice, which we get to hear more as...
Yeah.
As the group progresses.
And she's just a great...
And the iconic
the band,
blonde bob.
Which David had been styling until recently. He's got a very fetching new hairstyle.
Hole Again debuted at number one on the UK charts, sells over a million copies here.
Absolutely huge.
Stays at number one here for 4 weeks, goes number one in 19 countries, number two in Australia. I don't know what the hell was stopping it from going to the top. Like, you know, when we were watching that documentary, So Far So Good,
yeah.
and they kind of chronicled that success, and then they, you know, went back to their hometown in Liverpool to play their first big concert after the success of that single. And it just felt just... You know, you really felt like, wow, like, these girls pulled it through. Like, they got it together.
I think no one saw the success they were about to have with this single. I mean, I think the record company must have been thanking their lucky stars that they allowed one more single. It was a huge international single, including number one in Germany, as I think it's Natasha on the record. Like, Questlife just had, like, a number... nine here, and they were dead happy with that. We've gone in at number one. And yes, they have, because a girl band is much more interesting than a boy band.
Hell yeah. Next came Eternal Flame.
I absolutely love their version of Eternal Flame.
Eternal Flame is one of those songs that is just forever a karaoke favorite in Asia.
God, yeah.
So I grew up loving Eternal Flame. So when Atomic Kitten covered it, I was, like, tapping on my parents' shoulders going, we need to buy this because clearly you like this too. In Australia, it was actually packaged as a double A-side single.
With what?
With Right Now.
Oh, great that, little reintroduction there.
Exactly. And that went to number 46 in Australia. So
And
I have that on CD singles. I was very proud.
Oh, my God. Bring that back next time you visit home. So... technically, this is the sixth single from the debut album. Hole Again had a minimal budget for the music video. Then their sixth single, because that did so well, has clearly a bigger budget.
That music video when they were like in like kind of yoga clothes, all in white, with
so
the kind of
iconic,
stunning, and the water reflections. It was just like gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
And what I love from here on out, now we're going to get a lot of Jenny Frost spoken ad-libs. Can you call them spoken ad-libs? Call my name, call my name, call my name, call my name, call my name.
Went number one in the UK.
Yeah.
It beat Destiny's Child's Bootalicious.
What a bloody time where Atomic Kitten, they are establishing success they've never had, and then they're beating out peak Destiny's Child global phenomenon to the top spot.
Following the release and obviously the big hit of Eternal Flame going number one, the girls re-released the album Right Now.
Straight in at number one.
Straight in at number one this time, not limping on the charts, you know, at number 39. So they got Jenny to re-record a couple of the tracks where Kerry's... couple of the tracks where Kerry's vocals were on. But they left Sia and I Want Your Love as it were on
bonus
the bonus tracks
at the end.
Yeah. So they had a new mix of Cradle on the album, had Eternal Flame, and they had another new track called You Are. Now, I didn't know this was a single, actually.
Well, it was kind of like half a single. They made a music video and stuff, but it was never officially released here in the UK. It got scrapped for some reason, which I don't know why.
Do you know what I think it is? Hole Again's gone number one. Eternal Flame's gone number one. You Are is probably not getting as much radio love as they thought it would. And they thought, let's not ruin the good run and let's just cancel it.
Which is fair enough.
It's still charted in the UK at number 90. On imports alone. So the fans went out and got it. The video was originally meant to be filmed at Grand Central Station in New York. But 9/11 happened, they had to rethink the whole treatment for it. You're in my heart. You are my reason. You are the reason I'm breathing. That's who's in my heart. You are. Maybe you're thinking about me. You are my reason. Be everything. Well, I'll tell you straight from my heart.
What did you think of You Are before we leave it completely as a song?
It was fine.
Oh, I really liked it.
I wouldn't say it's like the most memorable of their singles. No. Personally, I would have preferred if they released Cradle. I thought Cradle was a stronger single. So before the end of 2001, the girls released their So Far So Good DVD.
Mm, which we loved.
We lapped it up. We copy right here.
Absolutely loved it. Really good fun.
They also went on the Smash Hits tour.
What a dream.
Which looks like so much fun. I would give anything to
Wonder who the rest of the lineup was.
I mean, I bet you would be like Blue and like maybe Billy. Billy would have been doing that.
Come on, Coachella, next year, Atomic Kitten, Blue, Billy will be there.
So fast forward to May 2002. These girls really don't stop. Like, it was just literally just on the other side of Christmas that they had their last single. Wow. And then now they've got new material coming out in May. Gorgeous new single. It's okay. They really did change their trajectory a little bit because Hole Again just completely put them on a new path. They suddenly weren't doing the kind of really teeny bopper stuff anymore. No. Like, they weren't speaking to that S Club 7 audience anymore. They didn't need to because Hole Again put them on a whole other level where they have fans that were young, old, a wider demographic.
Gay men will love it. Straight men will love it. Kids will love it. But then also, like,
their parents.
Even probably a dad would still enjoy it, taking his son or daughter to go and see it. So, it's okay. Great music video, great song, very a new era of Atomic Kitten.
This is their first time working with Stargate as well.
One
of our favourite producers in the noughties. You know, these guys are so iconic in the kind of work they've done, especially here in the UK with our artists.
I just have to say, there is one very small shot of this music video that makes me feel very uncomfortable. They get out of the sea looking absolutely lovely, and they just cut straight to a crotch shot, and then go straight back to the girls. It's not a pan up, they have purposefully put in that crotch shot, which is so unnecessary. It makes me feel very uncomfortable, especially as that it's really geared for children. Just have to say, it's something that's been stuck with me for years.
I think at this point, Atomic Kitten was starting to go more FHM audience. Just a little. You know, they were becoming more sexier. Their previous videos, you know, they were kind of dressed in casual wear, very loose, kind of still glamorous. They were becoming more and more glamorous, but it's okay. New era, they're beach babes.
I know.
You know, they're rising out of the water, lovely tan, and that crimped hair. Do you remember when girls used to have that?
Remember? And I'm all for, like, I'm not one of those people where it's like, it's too sexy for kids. I'm all for being sexy. It's harmless. But just that one shot in particular is that step too far.
Gotcha.
You know, they're being incredibly sexy walking out the water and it's great. We do not need that shot. So, that's my final word.
So the single It's Okay debuted and peaked at number 3 in the UK. It made number 24 in Australia, so not bad. And top 10 across Europe as well. So the girls are right...
Killing it.
Killing it at this point.
So...
Then comes...
The second peak of the career. I would say, for me, when I think Atomic Kitten, this is the defining moment for me.
Oh, wow.
Looking back in time, this is more memorable than Hole Again was to me. When this was released... It was so monumental. Everyone was singing. It was such a big deal. Obviously, what we're talking about is The Tide Is High, Get the Feeling.
So it's a cover of a Blondie song, which I know Blondie covered, but they added a verse in there, thus they get the feeling bit. I just say, the production for this is so classic Atomic Kitten, isn't it?
It is, it's definitive.
You've got the sweet melodies, you've got the kind of hip-hop beat driving it along.
It's so definitive, it was such a summer song as well, you know, released late August, and I think that's why it was so memorable for me, because it was released on the summer holidays, then you go back to school and everyone is singing it.
They caught the feeling.
<Did they? laughs>
The single made number one in the UK, stayed there for 3 weeks, sold over 1.5 million copies. It made number four in Australia. It was absolutely bloody everywhere. Tash was pregnant in this video.
She was.
Turns out, I found out recently that she was already pregnant when they were filming It's Okay, but she wasn't showing as yet.
Wow. So it was okay to be in a bikini.
Exactly. But she's really, really showing in this video. And I remember watching it going, oh, I'm really glad she's still dancing. She's still part of the group. Because a lot of the times these pop stars, when they get pregnant, they just kind of go out of the spotlight a little bit. They try to hide it out. Or they try to, like, disguise it.
And I thought it was really sweet to see that. And,
yeah.
You know, they've already had one member leave because she was pregnant and decided to leave. It was great to see that Tash is staying with the band. And, yeah, they're not all going to take a break. They will take a break in a minute, or she'll at least have a much-deserved maternity leave. But... You know, why and how not?
Women, she's kicking on, yeah.
It's a wonderful thing, pregnancy. Who says you can't still be a pop star?
This is a band that speaks to all ages, so...
It is, and worldwide. This opened the Lizzie McGuire movie, which is having its 15th anniversary this year. It was really part of trying to break Atomic Kitten into America, and... It's pretty much entire song opens the entire film of Hillary, like, dancing around her room to it. Very much that classic, we get it in Adventures in Babysitting, we get it in Crossroads, that trope of the film opens and the girl's, like, getting ready. And they use The Tide Is High for that. We also have to say, we've mentioned on a previous episode, was recorded by one of our other faves, Billie Piper first. Was nearly a potential single for her if she didn't decide to hang up her microphone when she did. But I think it's fate that... It went to Atomic Kitten. As much as I love Billy, I do prefer this version.
So let's talk about album number 2, Feels So Good.
Feels So Good.
Joel, I have the Asian deluxe edition of this album.
Bonus VCD?
Bonus VCD with the music videos and club remixes on it.
Which has just reminded me. So in the DVD, Atomic Kitten, Be With Us... we follow them on tour in Asia, and they see a stall selling fake CDs. I actually had a fake version of this growing up, but I got it from holiday in Malta, and it was my sister's friend bought it on...
from like a market or something?
From literally a market store.
Literally off the back of a donkey or
so
something.
So we had that edition... It's crazy.
You had a bootleg version.
I had bootleg version. I don't condone that, anyone.
Jenny will be so cross with
Jenny,
you.
Yeah. If you want to phone in Jenny and tell me off, great. We'll have a little chat about it.
So the album Feels So Good, that was named after a Kylie Minogue co-write track that was given to the girls. I think might have possibly been intended for Kylie's Fever album, but...
What I like about this album, it's very much like a hint of disco throughout on
it. Oh, I love it. Hint of disco and a bit of the kind of R&B infused pop mid-tempos that we've known them for.
They're really arrived on this album. It's a very solid piece of work.
It does feel a bit more sophisticated than the first album, which is understandable because I think with Right Now, they were definitely trying to appeal to a younger, more teeny bopper kind of audience. Whereas this one is just kind of like, it's for you too, Mum.
And everyone ate it up.
Everyone ate it up. It was number one on the album's chart. And actually, it was a really good week for them because I believe when this went number one on the album's chart, they also had a number one single. So The Tide Is High was still on top of the charts. And they released a DVD, and that was number one as well. Total kitten domination.
Of all the charts.
Yeah. And also they released a book around this time as well. So the album made number 21 in Australia and went on to sell over a million copies in Europe, Joel. So very, very good to be Atomic Kitten in riding, 2002.
Riding bloody high.
Before the end of 2002, the girls released another single, a double A-side, The Last Goodbye, and one of my all-time favourite Atomic Kitten songs, Be With You.
Be With You is an absolute excellent song. So it's still very kid-friendly, it's for everyone, but it is just a bit more of a mature disco vibe. It's, I mean, sexy. Literally as well from Lizzie's afro. But yeah, it is such an excellent song.
Especially coming from a post-Kylie Minogue Fever era.
Mm.
Like, this track really slotted into that kind of early noughties disco pop sensation, which I was absolutely feeling. Like, it was so my vibe, and it still is my vibe to this day, Joel. Like, I listen to this song, I think, at least once a week still. I'm just obsessed with it.
I would have liked some more choreography in the music video instead of a bit of freestyle, but it's still iconic.
It's a vibe, isn't it? I remember watching his video and going, I cannot wait to be old enough to go clubbing because I just want to be writhing on the floor. I want to be writhing on the floor like Jenny Frost is, you know, just kind of crawling and, you know.
I'm here.
And it's just like the wind machine and, you know, the green laser lights. It was such a mood, like I cannot even tell you. So The Last Goodbye, a Stargate produced pop ballad. This makes me emotional listening to it. It just makes me think of, like, airports and, like, travelling. Yeah. And I know the video was shot in an airport. I know it. I know. It's obvious. But I love listening to this when I'm, like, just taking off and going on holidays.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a, it's a mood. It really is a mood. What was interesting about The Last Goodbye, which I didn't really click until I watched the video properly, was that the album version that I'm so familiar with had mostly Tasha's vocals, but the single version, all three girls get to share vocals.
When I used to sing along, did you ever sing along specifically to one member of the band's vocals?
I mean, I was kind of every member.
Oh, yeah.
Which one? You and Natasha.
No. Because I was actually taking it really seriously. So I'd always let... And this is no shade, but Jenny's much easier to sing along with. So I would always, like, pretend I was in the band. I'd let Natasha sing. I'd let Liz sing. And then I'd really go for it and pretend I was, like, the Jenny vocal part.
I mean, there is no way in hell anyone who knows you, or even by this point, if you've listened to our episodes up to now, you would know that Joel is a Natasha Hamilton.
Yeah, but maybe I just have more of Natasha's confidence now.
You are definitely Tash. I'm Lil. I'm definitely Liz McLennan.
And we're looking for a Jenny Frost, so...
Exactly.
If anyone wants to come and join our band. We must say, what's really funny in the DVD is that in the first DVD, going back to, they're both, Natasha and Liz are both like, always wanted to be a singer, always wanted to do it. Then Jenny's just like, no, never really wanted to be a pop star or anything really, but it just sort of happened, so yeah, it was dead good.
Goals. Serious goals. Love you, Jenny.
Love you, Jenny.
The last Goodbye and Be With You, the double A-side single, made number 2 in the UK. Be With You was a standalone single in Australia, and that was number 10. It's been a really big year, 2002, for them.
They've probably also done a lot of that motor car stuff they had going on.
Oh my God, what clothing was that all range, about? VHS. They had a clothing line with BHS.
For kids, yeah.
BHS for kids. January and February of 2003, they toured Southeast Asia, which we saw the shenanigans of in the Be With Us documentary DVD. And
I tell you what, the Cheeky song features heavily in their tour. It's like, I'd say it's one third of the bloody DVD is them singing along to the Cheeky song. It even makes like the info of the DVD. And they sing the Cheeky song.
Before they wrap up the Feel So Good era, they... did have one final single, the fourth single, which is Love Doesn't Have to Hurt. Gorgeous, gorgeous ballad, co-written by Susanna Hoffs of The Bangles, which of course we already know the connection, the girls covered Eternal Flame. To show me love doesn't have to hurt to feel good. It's such a So Love Doesn't Have to Hurt makes number 4 in the UK. Not bad, considering it's been on the album.
Not bad. People going out and buying it. Did it, girls.
And this video, which I didn't see until very recently, was actually the very first time we saw the Jenny Bob.
There should just be a version of that video that is just the Jenny Bob version exclusive. Just 3 minutes of Jen and her new hair. Iconic.
April 2003... the girls tried to crack America with a release of the self-titled Atomic Kitten album, which is a mixture of their first two albums. Mm-hmm. The track listing is mostly the Feel So Good album, but they throw in Right Now and Whole Again and Eternal Flame.
Why wouldn't you?
So it's like a slightly condensed track listing, but with those singles in there. And unfortunately, it didn't do anything in the States.
That's a real shame. I wonder what their whole promo plan was and stuff out there.
I do wonder, because you know they filmed a US version of the Whole Again video. A
glamorous US version.
Oh my God, these girls look stunning in there. Everyone had their fake tan on and hair extensions, and they were walking through downtown LA.
And the sad thing is, it probably got more airplay here. I remember seeing it as like a premiere here, like, oh, Atomic Kitten's US version of Whole Again. Like,
aww.
I wonder if they got to do Good Morning America or anything like that, you know?
That would be so epic.
But if anyone out there, if they have a cult following in the States, do let us know. Obviously, they did open the entire of the Lizzie McGuire movie with it, which was a huge global box office hit.
Fast forward to October 2003. So they spent most of 2003 just touring, writing their third album. Lead single of the third album, If You Come To Me. Now, Joel, this one is a rediscovered fave of mine.
This era, they're really peaking. They all look gorgeous, and it just feels like a really good unit of everything. AK.
If You Come to Me, for me, it's just very, in a way, it's very classic Atomic Kitten, because it's got the sweet, wistful pop melodies, but also it's got that really hard-hitting hip-hop beat to back it up as well. I am so obsessed with this track. It was co-written by Richard Biff Stannard and Julian Gallagher, who worked on Kylie's Fever album. Mm. The video looks like a lovely Boohoo commercial. But they do look very, very glamorous in this video.
Oh, yeah. Atomic Kitten really gets more glamorous and glamorous as it goes on.
Liz and Tash have bangs in this one.
That's why Jen gets to be in the middle. Well, I've not got bangs. I've got a long sweeping fringe and a bob. Put me in the middle.
The single made number 3 in the UK, number 30 in Australia, and it hit the top 20 in several European countries. So not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
A month after the single came out, we had the Ladies' Night album, which is their third album. It's Ladies' Night.
Another really solid piece of work here from Atomic Kitten. And more co-writes as well.
It still has that kind of vanilla-y essence of the first two albums, but it just feels a little bit more bittersweet this time. Like, the lyrics are a bit more grown up. They're women now, you know, they're singing about heartbreak and... Now, Joel, you must remember, at this time, it was just like, Girls Aloud was coming up. The Sugar Babes were, like, at their prime. I mean, 2003, that was probably when Hole in the Head was out. It was very clear at this point that Atomic Kitten was starting to, you know, maybe just feel like they were a little bit out of fashion. They were starting to sound a bit mumsier. And also, you know, like, the album cover looked a bit mumsier. Yeah. You know, that kind of turquoise.
It's sort of very, like... North London Yummy Mummies, isn't it? Yes. In the best possible way.
Yes, that, like, look at that fucking top, that off-the-shoulder thing that Tash is wearing. That is very Yummy Mummy, and she is a Yummy Mummy anyway.
Bloody gorgeous.
Before the end of the year, they released Ladies' Night, which is absolute the Cool and the Gang banger cover, which actually became their first single in over 2 years to not go top 5. It was literally only a year ago that they were number one on the albums chart, number one on the DVD chart, number one on the singles chart, and now it already feels like it's a little bit passé.
That's the world of manufactured pop, David, I'm afraid.
So after the release of Ladies' Night, the single, they also put out that documentary DVD that we'd already mentioned before.
I wonder where that charted.
And then they announced their split before their final single.
Not split, David. They were going to take a break.
I thought they said it as a split.
No.
Because
they're going to take...
In the big reunion, they said Tash wanted to quit the group to spend more time with
their
kids.
Yeah, the big reunion is looking at it after they actually did split. Back then, they said, we're going to take a year off, and Tash is going to spend a lot of time with more time with her child, and then they're going to come back. So they were going to take 2005 off as hiatus. They didn't do, like, an official split. But, yes, they did split up.
It was so quick how they kind of handled that announcement that they were going on hiatus, and then they brought out Someone Like Me, the final single from the Ladies' Night album in March 2004. That's a gorgeous Liz McLennan solo ballad. The girls look stunning in the video. Do you remember it?
They all sing on the single version, though.
But...
Jenny.
Don't let your head...
Oh, yeah. Did they? They all sing on the single version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just so familiar with the album version.
I mean, that's another one I used to listen to the greatest hits, and I was in the band, and I would get to the Jenny bit
and try to out sing her.
We know the story so far. What you want and who you are. What you want and who you are. Let all your emotions run free. With someone like me, that's the way it should be. Someone like me. Someone like me.
Someone remember hearing this song and I just thought, oh my god, it really is the end of an era.
If they had said, this is our farewell, it would have felt a bit more like packed a punch. Obviously, they did do a Greatest Hits tour.
It wasn't until I started looking into their discography for this podcast that I realised how bloody quick that Greatest Hits came.
Yeah.
Because it was literally like, the single came out in March 2004, and then the Greatest Hits came out the following month, and they'd already, like, done their Greatest Hits tour. You know, the DVD was, like, coming out.
So I guess what the plan would have been was...
They knew they were
this
going
This was a single of the Greatest Hits album, and then, great, the tour's happened, so they can release the Greatest Hits DVD with the same time as the Greatest Hits CD. I watched this tour today, actually. Great show.
Sold out Wembley.
It was peak everyone. Everyone was on fire. Great production value. So someone like me was a double A-side with Right Now 2004.
Yes, the 2004 version of Right Now somehow sounds even more disco-y, but like old school disco. Like it was less kind of Euro dancey.
Yeah.
And it sounded like it had more kind of old school disco instruments through it, which I think kind of fitted in with their third album a little bit more.
They then did also release Cradle in the UK as a charity single.
Finally, one of my faves, Cradle.
And it went to number 10, which is great considering you've not been around. You're just doing a charity single that goes in at number 10. And then they also did come back in 2008 to do Anyone That Had A Heart. There was a Liverpool, the number one celebration, which anyone that had a number one in Liverpool was invited to. I think Liverpool is the UK city with the most number ones. So they got back together for that. They sang that. They had a brief reunion around that time. There's a time they're doing like a full GAY gig and stuff. So it was always sweet to see they got back together. They had done the New Year's in Hong Kong, which we watched.
I have to say, I really always enjoyed watching them interact with each other. Yeah. They always felt like there was genuine camaraderie and real banter. And it always felt like a very, very lively band. And you just want to be part of their group, you know.
This is the lineup we want. Girls, we want you three to come back together. Liz, Jenny and Natasha, we want you to get back together and recreate this show that I watched today. This is what everyone deserves. Sold out Wembley, I believe you can do it again. And you've got that 20th anniversary coming up.
When's that?
So, 99, next year. Do a 20 years of Steps, 20 years of Atomic Kitten.
Oh my god, I would live for that, Joel.
Me too. We'd be there front and centre. Get Miss Frost on the phone. That is the definitive band. And that's the lineup we need to see again.
Amen. And also, hopefully before the end of 2018, we'll see the debut of Liz McLennan, the country singer.
Of course, this is the most important thing we need to talk about. David and I went to go and see Liz McLennan at the Country to Country Music Festival because Liz is now a country artist and I'm so happy and excited for her. She seems really happy. She's doing solo music. We're going to see a solo album from Liz, which will actually be the debut solo album from Liz. And David was incredibly excited when we saw Liz in person.
Do you know what? It's just, in my line of work, I do get to meet lots of musicians and artists and things of that nature. But when I'm in work mode, I don't really, I don't get a chance to fangirl because I'm in a specific headspace. But when you and I were just there at the O2 at the big entrance, which is not like inside the main thing, and I could see Liz like just there, side of stage, just breathing the same air as us, just right there, like just so, like she wasn't swanked with bodyguards. She just seemed so approachable. Like you could physically go up and say hi and it would be okay. It really threw me out. Like, you know what it was like. You were next to me. I was just like, oh my God, it's actual Liz.
It was actual Liz. He kept saying actual Liz. So now in the house, we call her actual Liz. That's her full name to us.
I mean, we enjoyed her set. It was like maybe about 30 minutes of new material.
Yeah, excellent.
She didn't do any Atomic Kitten songs, which is okay, whatever.
Yeah, we were a bit upset about that.
Could have done with a country version of It's Okay, but you know. But it was just that after that, we were wandering around the O2, and there she was, just having a bottle of Pinot.
With her friends and her band members, and of her musician band members, unfortunately not Atomic Kitten. And I've never seen David like this. It was so sweet. He just kept being like, it's actual Liz.
I just can't believe she's there, because out of all the members of Atomic Kitten, I remember when I was in high school, I always went, do you know what? Liz is cute. Like, I would fancy her.
You might hear our featured Atomic Kitten in the
background. We have an actual cat in the flat at the moment. Hi, Jenny.
And it was really sweet to see David so sort of flustered and excited by seeing actual Liz. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what she does with her country music. You've been listening to Right Back Atcha. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram
at Right Back Pod,
or email us
at rightbackpod@gmail.com.
And don't forget to subscribe.